I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling? She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
truth.
But you can find it right here on The Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need The Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, The Shooting Bench.
All right, here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It's the 11th of February, and it's a Wednesday. I know y'all missed Amy tonight, and I didn't, as she was here with me. But anyway, we didn't get to do her show tonight. I'm going to talk about a couple things, kind of put you in the mood here. And then I'm going to play an interview that I just did with another guy on another radio show. And that's going to take up a little bit of time. Be better since my voice is kind of failing here. My voice was working all right when we did the interview. So we'll play that interview, and that's going to take. I think you'll find it interesting. It's not gun night, but it's gun related stuff. So those of you that are it's gun related, self defense related. All right, it's about multiple attackers and whatnot. So hopefully you'll find that interesting. You've never heard it before unless you just happen to be surfing through the internet and happen to wander across it out there somewhere. But this is only a few days old. So anyway, I guess you guys heard today we had the guy in Chapel Hill or near Chapel Hill, Tennessee, had a guy killed three Muslims there. And he was an atheist. So I wonder if we're going to hear all about the Crusades and what the Christians did now. And is it still a hate crime when an atheist hates all religions? I'm not sure how that works exactly. I know it's a hate crime if it's a white person that kills black people. If it's an atheist that kills Muslims, I don't know if that's still a hate crime. Since it did kill Muslims, though, I imagine Obama's going to say, yeah, boy, that's hate crime. He killed my brothers. We'll see what happens with all that. A lot of stuff going on here. Matter of fact, if you are in I lost the cotton picking thing here. Kansas. It's in Kansas. In Kansas, you can be fined $125 for warming up your car. Yeah. Warming up your car in cold weather, it's good for your engine. You have to if you want it to last. That you just fire it up and take off on a sub-zero morning, which I guess they have a whole lot of those in Kansas, but I think they do from time to time. You can't expect that engine to last too long, but I guess nobody's explained all this to the cops in Kansas, because if you leave your car running unattended, you could be ticketed up to $125. And they're not doing it for reasons, climate reasons or anything like that. It's because of the theft of unattended vehicles, I guess, is at an all-time high right now. But it certainly doesn't hurt to throw an extra $125 in their pocket every time this happens. Now, I don't understand exactly why. It's my car. It's my gas. And if it's running and somebody steals it, that's also my problem. And No, you get paid for doing whatever it is you do. When somebody steals a car, insurance will take care of it. So I'm just at a total loss here as to why, you know, they just spend so much time trying to protect us from ourselves. The texting while walking. If I'm texting while walking and step out in front of a car and get my dumb ass run over, then that's officially, it's my problem. Of course, there may be a little damage to the car. I suppose that's my problem, too. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere in the Constitution, it says if I do more than $25 worth of damage to somebody's property, I am legally liable for it. So we'll just have to see how all that works out. But anyway, one of the biggest deals that has happened here today is the fact that a federal judge now has ruled the, you know, when you buy a handgun from out of state, you go to a gun show. If I go to a gun show in Washington, if I decide I want to buy a gun up there in June while I'm up there, I'm going to have legally going to have the handgun shipped down here to a dealer and then do a transfer because it's a handgun. Now, if I want to buy a rifle or a shotgun, that's okay. That doesn't matter. Well, the federal judge has said, well, that's kind of stupid. When someone buys something that they are legally allowed to possess and legally allowed to purchase, and they can do it with rifles and shotguns, why can we not do it with handguns? So we'll see where this goes, but he is he shot it down, says it's unconstitutional. He shouldn't be doing that. So I think that's awesome. So anyway, I'm going to get to this. Hang on a minute. Goodness. I'm going to get to this interview here, and on the one hand, I say I'd hate to do this to you because I'd like to be here talking to you, but on the other hand, I think it's a pretty good interview. We talk about some interesting stuff, and it's going to give me a little bit of break from the mic here for 39 minutes, and then I'll be back. Mountain Shooter, I'm not sure what you mean. We do what all the time? Not sure what you're talking about there, but... I'll stay in the chat here while the deal is going. If there's any questions or anything, I can shut the thing down and answer any questions or whatever comes up while this is going. So anyway, here we go. I'll be back in a little bit.
Because sometimes, you know, we think we know, but that's the moment that we do not really know. So it's always good to, for me, it's a journey, you know, learning an art.
And you got to remember, this guy's got heavy Italian accent here, so pay attention.
A handgun or a rifle or a knife, it's still a martial art. It's like a journey. You never think that, you know, you never reach the peak. It's never going to be a peak. It's always going to be some sort of a journey. So today with me, I have an expert, is an instructor, is a professional, and he's been doing this for many, many years. And that's why I like to share with you ideas and also some basic concepts of self-defense on the radio. So at least, even probably, you still know it's going to change because you need to practice. You probably need to find a qualified instructor. I would suggest you to put this information in practice. At the same way, you may know what you do not know. Cop, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Luca?
Very good. This is Cop Reynolds. And where are you right now, Cop? Which part of the world are you calling from?
I am right outside of Sholo, Arizona tonight.
Perfect, perfect. And briefly, you know, already been on my show many times, several times. And by the way, you also have a great show that I like to listen to you very often on the internet. Give me a little bit, or more important, give to our listeners a little bit your background and what is your organization and also what is your show so they can talk, they can know a little bit more about you. Go ahead.
Okay. My background as far as firearms go is I was, back when I was a kid, it was a common, normal thing for families to start shooting and start hunting at a very young age. I started shooting when I was probably 5, and I killed my first deer when I was 9. And I've had a extensive association with firearms of all types ever since then. And back in the 90s, I got... very concerned. I was doing a lot of competition shooting, and then I got very concerned about just the way society was going, and I realized that I was becoming like so many other people and having fun with this and learning how to shoot as far as recreation goes. But if I was ever attacked, I didn't have a clue how to shoot. Just because I could shoot well didn't mean I could take care of the situation tactically. So basically gave up my competition shooting completely and got into professional training.
Okay.
And about 96, 95, I got certified by the NRA to start teaching their classes, which I found out they're good, but they're very, very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing some other training with some of the big names in the industry around the country. And eventually, I through these different things that I was learning, I've kind of put together a pretty good program of my own. It's not secret. It's not special. It's not it's a combination of some things that I've learned at other places. And just like any other instructor, when you start making stuff up that's not already been doing, you're probably going to be going backwards.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to not reinvent the wheel, but you create pretty much the best according to your personal experience, what is best from the different schools and different training systems that you went through. For example, let's go to some specific questions. I talk about this in the past also with other friends. You know, there are two different basics let's say, not only presentation, but how you pretty much present yourself, the stance, okay? Let's say there is the Weaver, modified Weaver, and of course there is this new isosceles, mostly for competition. For self-defense, for tactical, real-life scenario, what is your favorite stance?
Well, Luca, when it comes down to it, when this is going to happen, you're probably not going to have the opportunity to assume a perfect stance somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In training, I like a modified Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, it's probably not going to matter. It's going to be wherever you're at on a stairway, getting out of the car. You're going to be doing the best you can to even keep your feet under you.
Yeah.
And trying to assume this textbook perfect stance that they beat into your head at so many of these schools may be detrimental to you surviving the gunfight.
Exactly. But this is true because, under stress, when the moment happens, we don't know. Maybe we're going to be on our knees. Maybe we're going to be in our car. So maybe there is not a stance. But there is a point, if you have the chance, let's say, you have to go through your house, okay, through your home, and you got to search your home, and even just the way you move or the way you basically, if you have the chance to wait for the threat, not being surprised by, I think that is, you're right, there are, for me, even the modified Weaver, I feel more comfortable, and it's a little bit more like the same stance if I were fighting with my hands a little bit, a little bit like a boxer stance a little bit, but you're right, the point is when things happen, and thankfully, I never had to go to that point, but I read a lot of books and I've been watching a lot of videos, real life YouTube videos of police or other good people trying to defend themselves. Everything seems so fast. You're not going to have a chance to start to put that position stance like you wish. Probably it's not going to happen.
Right, right. And the modified Weaver also is, it's very close to when you kneel.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically just kicking your firing side foot back and dropping into a kneeling position without having to shift your weight very much or anything. And it's also the same stance that you're going to be using when you're shooting a rifle. So I'm a big fan of keeping it pretty simple and not having to learn too many different stances for different types of weapons.
That's why I like that too, because the point is once you train with the pistol, with modified Weaver, you can do shotgun or long weapon rifle and you still have the same basics. So I like that. Now let's talk a little bit. I know that you go around the country teaching classes. Do you have an official school or a place where people can come and visit you, or you go around, pretty much visiting other people, places, like other locations? How do you teach?
Well, I do have a small place here that we really don't do too many classes locally. I just do some, some CCW classes and a few smaller things. I do a lot of the classroom type classes, the Glock armor class, disaster preparedness, reloading, all the stuff that is classroom only. But mostly I go to different places. People host. They'll call me and say, I can come up here and do the class. So we'll get the ball and say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need from you. I need a safe, legal place to shoot, get some people together, and your class will be free. So, they conceivably they could get almost $1,000 worth of training just for helping me get all my stuff done. I just show up with targets and stuff and run the class, and they get their class free.
That's great. I like this philosophy. And, you help somebody help you back. That's great. If people want to reach you, maybe they're interested. They say, you know what, maybe I can set up in a little community wherever I live, a class. First of all, the requirement. How many people you must have to pretty much put together a class? And what is the average cost for, let's say, some basic self-defense class? And how they can contact you? You know, people want to say, let's do it, Cope.
The class is up there, so I'm going to be there anyway. So, having four or five people will be okay because there's going to be eight people in the other class.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be happening on two consecutive weekends. So that works out fine for everybody. So, but on the average, 6 to 10. Some classes we can get up, 15 or 20.
Okay.
And the only thing that means is I need to bring, when I have more people than that, I just need to bring extra instructors with me, which I have three other people that are very well qualified to come and help me with that.
And how they can contact you? Because I'm sorry, I missed the first part. There was a little bit problem with the connection. How they can contact you in case they want to reach you?
The best way is probably I have a message phone. Calling the office phone, I may not be around there all the time. The best way is probably to call 505-349-8753. Leave a message. I check it religiously. Sometimes I'm available to actually answer it. But you'll never go more than 24 hours without me answering that. You can also send me an email at the shooting bench, all one word, the shooting bench at live.com. And I check that, 10, 20 times a day.
Perfect. So listen, if you're out there and you want to get some very good training, and by the way, there are some beautiful videos. You have a great YouTube channel, Cope Reynolds.
Thank you.
And there are a lot of good stuff. You can see what it does. I like very much, by the way, there is a good video you shooting. I think it was a Glock 40 in 40 cal at 300 yards or something like that. I mean,
yes, sir.
Very good video. And so anyway, you can check him out. And also, it's an opportunity. You can learn a lot. And even if you think you already know stuff, let me tell you, you're never going to know everything. The point is, it's always a journey, and you can always learn from different training, different ideas. So help him out. You can contact Cope, maybe get together a group of friends in your area, and why not? You can get also your class for free. Now, question is, you have also a radio show, and I really like it. It's on the internet, I guess. What is the name of the show?
Sir. My show is called The Shooting Bench. I've been doing it about 10 years. I used to be on AM radio for a few years, and then due to circumstances or anything, it turned out to be a much, much better deal for me to go internet and with the podcast and the whole nine yards. So that's worked out very well. It's called The Shooting Bench, and our network is called The Survival Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I think, five hosts on there. Covering everything from homesteading type stuff to blacksmithing, and most of mine is generally political and firearms, and it's a great network. We have some really good, knowledgeable hosts out there. We're getting a lot of people that are dedicating their evenings to sticking with us and everything. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that. There's also a chat room. I think it's a great community. On top, it's really good information. I was listening to a couple of shows just last week, and the one I really like it, I was going to bring this topic anyway today, and I'm glad you're here. As a real-life situation, normally, we think we go to the range and there is one paper target standing in front of us, not shooting us back, and just being there. In real life, sometimes, rats, they go in pack, and bad people, they may go more than one. So, multiple threats. If we can give your, professional opinion, how would you, in a fighting situation, in a combat situation or self-defense situation, how a gun owner should face and pretty much deal with multiple attackers?
Well, that's a, in my opinion, that's an awfully tough question to answer because there's so many different scenarios. It depends on the terrain and the cover and concealment that you might have available, how many innocents there are around. Are you in a mall, a church, school, or are you just out in the woods somewhere and happen to run across a few dopers, you know, growing dope out there or something? But, I'd say if I had to say just one thing that was probably the most important thing is keep moving.
Yes.
Okay. Don't stop and shoot. Learn to shoot well while you're moving quickly. And learn to speak and know the difference between cover and concealment and utilize it. And don't be looking for that perfect 2-inch group in the center mass. If you hit him and he's bleeding, you're making points.
Yes.
You know, be generous with your ammo. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, this is more important to me than anything. If you see what's going on with ISIS and all this stuff here over the last few months,
yes,
there's going to come a time when those people are going to get more aggressive here in the United States. And there's going to be a lot of copycats. There's going to be other terrorists, other punks, other just idiots out there. And for the a 5-shot revolver reload, to me is insane. This is we're about to enter into the most violent and savage time that this country has ever known.
Yes, I believe that too.
And if you're not prepared mentally, physically, psychologically, to and spiritually to face some of these threats, then you're going to die. Listen, and your family's going to suffer.
I agree, Cope, and this is true. You know, this is not a game. This is, I know sometimes we wish reality would be different, but unfortunately, this is the reality we're living. And now, regardless who is fault, you know, we can sort it out this, but meanwhile, we must survive. We must make it true. And that reality is true because now even, I believe really with this policy to have open borders and not just Obama, before Obama for many, many years, and I wouldn't be surprised we already have ISIS here and only God knows who, Chinese and anything else you can imagine, Iranian,
I'm certain of it.
Yeah. Yes, they're already here. Now, the point is when they're going to start to activate themselves. Now, it's our duty. The government is not going to save us. It's not going to be there. You know, we have to take care of ourselves and our family and also help our community. So it's a responsibility. That's why training, for me, it is not a hobby. It is not something I just do like let's have a little cup of coffee. No, this is a serious matter. We're talking about with the deadly tools. And they're here for a goal. I mean, yeah, we can enjoy them. It's going to be fun if you like it. But at the same time, it's a real serious business. That's why train, it's fundamental. And preparation, what you were saying is very important. If you think just because you got a revolver in your purse or in your pouch or whatever, and with 5 rounds, you're going to take care of business, I mean, this is not even in the movie happens like that. I mean, we better start to think about backup ammo and also, more important, awareness. Because, you know, if I had to say, I'm not an instructor, I'm just a professional student, I go out there and try to learn from everybody, the first thing as we have as a weapon in a situation that there are multiple threats, I would say awareness. Maybe we should never have been to that point. We should have avoided to be there. And maybe the first thing would be try to get away from the situation because the odds are against us. Of course, if we put ourselves that we have to do something to save somebody else's life or our life, we have no choice and we are facing, you know, like we have shoulder on the wall, that's different. But I have no problem to say the best weapon sometimes when you have more than one adversary against you, maybe it would be try to just put distance between you and the bad people. What do you think about that?
No, certainly. Unless there's a loved one or anybody, an innocent that mandates that you get involved, and or I should not say it that way because not everybody is going to feel the same about having to get involved. I would. I feel that if I have the means, the capability, and the knowledge and the skill to assist someone, whether I know them or not, yes, I know that there is a tremendous amount of liability involved with that, but I still have to look at myself in the mirror and I still have to face my God when I leave here. And to walk away from a situation that I might could have helped is unacceptable to me. But it is acceptable to some people, and the right or wrong. You know, we're all made differently, and that's just the way it is. So, unless there's a reason for you to be there, don't be there.
Exactly.
Get out.
And on top, you know, that when you're there, you know, even if you have a good heart, and that's great, don't get me wrong, you wish you had all the training you wanted to have. Because when you are under stress, we know the law of 50-50, I mean the 50%. Under stress, normally we have at least our performances don't get better, but get 50% less. Correct me if I'm wrong. Adrenaline is going to kick in, and we're going to be probably trembling, and our group is going to get wider, and our thinking is going to be different unless we've been trained under stress. Correct?
That's true. Even artificial stress that's induced on a training range is a whole lot better than just standing out there on level ground with the sun shining and the birds singing and shooting at a paper target.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fact that you let me turn this thing off here. The fact that you think that you might be just because you're an exceptionally good shot and you show up all your friends out there doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to survive when someone is trying to cut your head off with a machete or something.
Exactly. And by the way, it happens.
And if you look, you'll see many news stories out there where you find out that the bad guy may have, or the good guy may have won.
Mm-hmm.
But look how many times the bad guy shot in the leg for
Exactly. Mashing
that trigger, because they're not smooth and they're mashing, they're anticipating the shot and they're shooting low. It happens extremely frequently.
Exactly, especially
that's due to stress.
Under stress and not enough training. Now, we were talking about multiple adversaries. You know, let's say there are some basic, I don't call it laws, but some basic guidances that normally in most of the training schools, they pretty much tell you. Let's say we have in front of us three different type of adversaries, and one comes with a shotgun, one comes with, I don't know, a machete, and one comes with a pistol. And different distances would be the pretty much the basic rule. Who should we engage first?
Well, the one that's paying the most attention to me, not necessarily always the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
If the closest one is the guy with the machete and the guy with the shotgun is already zeroed in and pointing my way, then obviously that's the one I want to get rid of first,
mm-hmm.
If at all possible. It's kind of hard to get a definite answer on that, but typically I think the shotgun would be the biggest threat depending the distance away he was. If he was inside of 25 yards, I would be very concerned about that.
We can say
if it was as a general, farther away, I'd be a little bit less concerned. But
as a general rule, can we say the most dangerous, according to logic? You know, there are different, of course, it's like different combinations we can put out. If somebody with a machete is pretty much on us, that means it would be pretty much close. But somebody, let's say, with a rifle is like 50 yards, that could be very dangerous too. So,
right.
As a general rule, let's say, according to our logic, that's why we got to think fast. That's why we got to visualize this scenario before. And who is the most dangerous to us that could be pretty much get us down immediately? You know, so there is not really a specific answer, but use your brain and try to think what is the most dangerous in the next few seconds to you. Now, another show that I really like that you covered was about organizing the militia. And I found it very informative and very good information out there. And I know there is so much to talk, but, you know, let's talk briefly about, because the idea is people sometimes, they think just because they got a rifle and they got some boxes of ammo somewhere, they are pretty much, they're done. My opinion.
Unfortunately, that's true.
You know, and, you know, that's true. If you want to have a hobby, probably that would be enough. But if we have a rifle as a citizen duty to be the defender of this republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I think we need more than just a rifle and a bench. And by the way, we don't need a bench if we're going to have a rifle for real purposes and some ammo. We need also some gear. We need also some mindset. Can you just give me, you know, pretty much the essence of how an individual, a law-abiding person, yeah, laws, when I say law, the Constitution is the first law that we need to respect and, in my opinion, defend, and is ready to do his sacrifice to defend this republic. What would be the basic gear and thing that he should put together as a working man? I'm not talking about somebody has millions of dollars. I'm talking about somebody who works 9 to 5 as a family and he wants to do his best to get something to, some tools to train as an infantryman in the militia.
Well, there's unfortunately the probably the most common thing is people want to get a rifle and they want to get thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo and they don't know how to shoot. They don't know how to carry it. They're, I would say the single most important thing of everything else is get in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much gear and how much crap you have and how much money you spend. If you can't run across the street without breaking down and getting down to one knee and getting your breath, then it's all wasted. So
you're
the
right.
First thing you need to do is get in some kind of shape. You don't have to be Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a football player, a professional wrestler. You need to be where you can run, carry your gear a little bit, and be able to keep up and not become a liability to all of your family, your group, you know, whoever you're with, or yourself, as far as that goes. You need to have a rifle, preferably a semi-automatic. However, if you have a lever-action 30-30 and you know how to use it and you've got some ammo with it, that's fine. The important thing is that you know how to and that you're willing to use it. And ideally, we'd like to have an AR-15, AK-47, you know, Mini-14, M1 Garand, FN, FAL, you know, whatever. And the magazines to go with it and have the knowledge to use it. Now, just because you have the means to go spend $6,000 on a sniper rifle doesn't mean that you can hit people any farther than 100 yards away. The amount of money that you spend does not make you a rifleman.
Exactly.
Shooting, training, practicing, good advice, and lots of time in the field makes you a good rifleman. I'm a hell of a lot more scared of an old farmer
mm-hmm.
with a 30-30 that he's had for 50 years.
Yes.
Then I am some punk out here that's got a $4,000 rifle that just got it last week, and it sure is cool, and he loves to show his friends, but it's not, he's not up to snuff with it.
Okay.
So some type of a decent weapon, and whether you need, you know, thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo, I say if you start out with 500, you're fine.
Okay.
If you haven't appropriated some more ammunition by the time you use that 500 rounds up, then you're either dead or you've run off and left your ammo somewhere or something. And you get in a firefight, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to win or you're going to lose.
Yeah.
If you win, you get whatever's around.
You got more ammo.
To restock. If you lose, it doesn't make any difference how many thousands of rounds you started with. You should have a good quality, durable backpack of some kind. Now, whether or not you're in shape to carry it very far is not as near quite as important as the fact that you have something to keep your gear organized.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are getting older and have bad knees and bad backs and all that, but we still have good backpacks where the stuff is organized properly, even if I have to throw it in the back of a pickup. If you expect to wear it, it should be good quality, it should fit you, and it should be comfortable and big enough to carry the amount of gear that you're gonna have. And typically, just to make this short and sweet, just some basic camping gear. It doesn't have to be the high dollar stuff. You need a way to start a fire. You need food, lightweight, high protein, high carb food, and water. Lots of water, lots of ammo, and first aid gear. It would probably take up way too much time to itemize this and get every
just
single
the basic,
thing that
you
need.
This is just a basic idea to understand that there is more than a rifle and your cigar that you think you're going to the range. This is in a real life situation, or we have to face a national emergency. It could be, let's say, even what happened in Ferguson. Think about if you were living in Ferguson, you had to take care of your business. You know, you don't know when you're going to come back, you know, home. If you're ever going to be back, you may go out for a couple of days. Let's say you have to stand up in front of your business to try to stop people, try to destroy it, or they can attack your family. So you got to be prepared for situations that probably we do not think as a regular people, thinking that the society is still working and functioning. We do not think that maybe we're going to be out for a couple of days, or maybe just, who knows, you know. So it's important, you know, just the idea that you must have some backup that you carry with you at least for 24, 48 hours. Now, do you think that, for example, you know, more important weapon, it's our mindset. Because as you said, you can have the most expensive rifle out there, but if you do not have the desire to to not be a victim, the desire to survive, the desire also to be free. Because, you know, the mindset for me is the most powerful weapon. I can be armed with a stick, with a 2x4, but if I really mean it, I'm going to be a wild cat. I'm going to use that 2x4 like in every way I can. And sometimes you have these people that they have a rifle. And I remember Katrina, okay? I was very shocked when I experienced some videos watching the news. People pretty much turning their guns just because somebody said, give me your gun, and you're in your own home. What does it mean to have a $3,000 AR-15 with the echo on top, and somebody all has to do say, put yourself on your knees and give me your rifle? I mean, the mindset, I was afraid to see so many Americans not having the mindset to say, this is my right. What are you doing to me? No, I'm not going to give you my gun. What is your opinion about that?
You know, Luca, we're coming to a point in history right now that people are going to have to make up their mind and decide. You know, there was a guy robbed, and I don't know if you heard this on my show. I think I talked about it, I believe, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was open carrying. I don't remember what state he was in. And he was it was 2:30 in the morning, and he was showing his cousin his Walther P-22.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walked up and had a gun in his waistband that he did not pull out of his waistband, but he showed it to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, I like your gun. Give it to me.
Wow.
And the guy, scared, gave him his gun, and he walked away.
Gee.
Luca, that is the mindset of too many Americans right now.
Yeah.
He had his gun out in his hand, and this punk come up and said, I like your gun, give it to me, and walked off with it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is the mindset of way, way too many people in this country right now.
This is something serious, because unfortunately it's true. And I'm not telling you how people should think, but I think we should start, before even we buy a gun, start to have an honest conversation with ourselves. And we are human beings, don't get me wrong. You know, sometimes we will know each other, ourselves, all in the moment of the truth. But we need to have an honest conversation and start to prepare your mind. What am I going to do if that happened? And the moment if you answer to yourself, if somebody asked me to give the gun, I wouldn't even bother to buy a gun at that point. It's better you have no guns. At least we do no harm. I mean, we do not, you know, give a weapon to another bad person. In a gunfight, there is this mindset. It's called a combat mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, you know, sum it up in a few phrases, like, you know, what would be your opinion about this, in the combat mindset in a gunfight?
Well, your combat mindset is where you're lying in the sand, you realize that the threat is real and dangerous, and you have to have the mindset to... You need to talk this over maybe with your pastor, maybe with your dad, maybe with, you know, some elder in your group or whatever, and find out if you have the ability, the capacity, the mental capacity to take a human life. And that combat mindset, is going to determine, quite frankly, if you win or lose. If you can have your mind made up prior to this happening, that's why, just like you said a while ago, you need to talk to yourself, talk about it. And I'll tell you a good movie to watch that really addresses that, and that is an old 1940-something movie with Gary Cooper called Sergeant York.
Okay, interesting.
It's an old show. It's a good show. It's good watching. But there's a whole lot of moral issues in there that are addressed in that show, and I think it's a great show for people to watch to deal with that. When you get those mental and moral issues resolved, then you're starting to acquire that combat mindset. You need to go in there with the ability, the confidence that you're going to win.
Yeah.
That you're the one that's going home.
And no matter what happens, even if you are, no matter what happens, even if you are hit, sometimes we are so psychological brainwashed that just because we see in the movie, okay, I got hit, I'm dying. No. You still, I mean, people can still be in the fight. You should be still in the fight till your heart is still beating. This is not a video game that you can say, sorry, I missed this one. Let me do a reset battle, man. Let's do another one. In the moment that you stop fighting, you're going to be dead. Your family may be dead. I mean, there are situations that sometimes we want to avoid to talk. I mean, not me or you, but you, general society, don't want to deal with that. Like there was this family where this man, I think he was a doctor on the East Coast, got this. Oh, I think we lost him. Let me call him back. Talking with Cop Reynolds. Love, Guns, and Freedom, and we're calling it back. Cop, are you there?
There you go.
Yeah, I lost you, man. What I was saying, you know, the moment that we give up, we cannot afford that. Even if we get hit, even if we get, you know, wounded, we must be in the fight because we're still alive. And the moment that we stop, we're going to lose. And we're not just going to lose our life. We may lose the life also our families. Did you ever hear that situation? There was a case a few years ago. This doctor on the East Coast, I think it was Massachusetts, I guess, or Connecticut, one of the states. And two scumbags just get out of jail and pretty much do a home invasion and beat the man down and rape his wife and his daughter. And then they burn him pretty much alive. You remember the case?
Yeah, and the man, if I remember right, the man survived that.
Yes, he survived that. How would you feel?
How would you feel,
yeah,
Luca?
How would you feel? And maybe that guy.
I don't know how he kept from killing himself.
I know, and it's very sad, you know. And I'm not saying that just because you have a gun in your, I think, really, if he had a gun in his holster, he had training, he would have a good chances because these people do not expect such a reaction, you know. But for sure, exactly. At least he had a fighting chance. And, you know, in many of these states, and I tell you, sometimes I feel sorry because I see also in Arizona that we are blessed here. We have probably the best state in the world for our Second Amendment right. I still see many people that they forget that not because you're in your house, you open the door, your gun should be parked maybe in the safe or somewhere else because a home invasion happened anywhere. And what is the best place to be your gun? Always on you and the safest. So
exactly.
I believe that... Let's talk about that. I mean, I'm reading about home invasion even here in Mojave County too many times. And unfortunately, too many times they were older people, sometimes women, and they did not have a gun on them. What is your philosophy about self-defense in a home environment?
Well, my goodness, Luca. I mean, it's so obvious to me. Just do a quick search on home invasions and being shot in the home, man shot in bathroom, woman shot in bedroom. You know, just do a bunch of searches. You'll find out that there are hundreds of thousands of home invasions. Yet when people get home, close their door and maybe lock it, maybe not. Put the gun up, take a shower, get in their bathrobe and their slippers and get a beer and sit down and watch TV and think they're safe. That's absurd to me. It's absolutely absurd. I can recite you 50 stories right off the top of my head of people that the guy just walked in off the street. Raped, killed, robbed, whatever the case may be, because the people were not armed and not expectant, did not have that combat mindset, were not prepared.
Because you think, people think, you know, assume, oh, I'm in my home, I'm safe. First of all, unless you live in a bunker, okay, you have probably, you know, steel walls and double steel doors and frames, maybe you should be okay. But the point is, we do not live in that environment, and still, I think the most of the cases that you were saying is true. Home invasions, they are a big part of crime. And I say, you know, what, for example, where do you carry your gun when you're home? Where do you have your gun?
I don't take it off my belt till I get ready to go to bed at night.
Dido.
I wear it 365 days a year, 15, 16, 18 hours a day. And when I take it off, when I take my pants off to go to bed, it lays on the nightstand right beside me. Luca, when I go take a shower, people think this may be paranoid. When I take a shower, if my wife is not home, my gun goes to the bathroom with me.
I agree.
That is the time that you are the most vulnerable at any point during your day. It's not while you're sleeping.
Yes.
When you're sleeping, your shotgun's right there in the corner, your handgun's on the nightstand. You know, you got the alarm set and the door's locked and all that stuff. But when you're in the shower, in the bathroom, you are the most vulnerable that you will ever be.
You're right. It is true. And I feel exactly the same. And I'm not a paranoid person. Don't get me wrong. And people say, oh, sometimes, oh, you're kind of extreme. Extreme what? It's like a spare tire. Now, just because I'm driving around the house, I'm not going to have a spare tire on me. I always have a spare tire on me. Otherwise, I don't put it at all. I mean, that's the bottom line. And unless you have special doors, then I've been talking about this during the show. We need to start to reinforce a little bit our basic homes. Because unfortunately, it doesn't, you know, the average house or apartment It's pretty scary. The false sense of security that they gave us, just because there is a door, it takes like one spit and probably less than 2 seconds to open the door. And if you are in a, like in a bathroom or you're doing something completely that puts you off guard, 2 seconds before you find your gun, you're never going to realize even where is your gun in this time period, you know? So I believe that you're right. I feel the same. And since the moment I came to Arizona, even before I was trained, I'm trying, of course, the last few years I learned more and I'm trying to learn every day, but the best place for me and the safest place, because you don't want to have this gun hanging around, muzzling everybody. Maybe you got kids around and you got to worry about where is your gun. It's in your holster, whatever position, exactly. And that's the most accessible. You having dinner, you having lunch, guess what? Imagine for a moment, Cope, and I'm not wishing that to you, but, you know, if I had to dream that has to happen to somebody, I wish, you know, somebody like you would be the receiver. You know, they come to your home while you're having dinner, and they think, okay, everybody's at the house, and they're having dinner. And the couples come back, they think it's going to be a big, easy, you know, like walking in a candy store. That would be a nice reality check to find the homeowner sitting on his table while having dinner with his family and maybe even his kids and his wife. They all pull a gun and blast the bastards. That would be kind of a...
Works for me.
Yeah, it would be interesting because, you know, they don't expect that. These are cowards and they try to get you in the most intimate moment of your life. Like, for example, while you're having dinner. And honestly, listeners, tell me honestly. I mean, you don't need to tell me, but think about it. While you're having dinner, where is your gun? How far is it? And how long it would take to somebody to break the door down. That's the point. Cope.
My wife and I both carry from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, 365 days a year.
So perfect, guys. The point is mindset. No matter what gun you have, train with that. And the more important, you know, you are the weapon. After all, you know, I don't care if you got a single shot black powder or, of course, semi-auto is better, but you know how to use it. You got your mindset. You are the weapon. The weapon is just an extension of your body. Listen, I would like to thank you again. I would like to, first of all, give you one more time how people can reach you out. If you have a website or even a Facebook page, I know you're on Facebook. We are Facebook friends. Please go ahead, Cope.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. I've got a group called Dying is Not an Option, where we talk about mostly a little bit of politics and mostly training and self-defense stuff. The website right now needs some work, but it's called theshootingbench.us. The best way to get to the radio show is go to thesurvivalcircle.com. Takes you right to the chat room, and the sound starts right away. And you call 505-349-8753 or email me at theshootingbench@live.com.
Perfect. Cope, I hope people are going to contact you. And please, guys, if you want to help him out to organize a class in your area, Cope is going to give you a great gift. Just because you help him out, you're going to get a free class. So contact Cope. Great information and a great patriot. And thank you very much, Cope. I'll be in touch with you, okay?
Luca, thank you again, my friend. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you a little bit.
Thank you. Be in touch.
Bye-bye.
And there was a Cope Reynolds, and you're listening to Love, Guns, and Freedom on with Lucas Zanna on KTOX 1340 AM. This is the second hour, everything about guns, self-defense, mindset.
All right, there you go. I hate to put you guys through that, but this kind of saves on my vocal cords a little bit tonight. So anyway, there's a lot of things. One of the things that completely aside from that interview, I guess a lot of you have seen that they closed the U.S. Embassy in Yemen today. They took the Marines' weapons from them that were guarding out there, which is absolutely unacceptable. But, guys, you know, add it up. Look what's going on. It's extremely concerning to me. What's going on over there usually is of minimal concern to us immediately here, but I think that's fixing to change. There's all these developments going on in the Middle East and with Russia and Ukraine and all that. If this stuff is all going to come to a head together, and we're going to be caught right in the middle of it. And, you know, we can save all the beans and band-aids and bullets and stuff that we want, but guys, this is a difficult thing for me because this is what I do for a living. So, you know, a lot of people use it, tell me that it's a sales pitch. It doesn't really matter if you get the training from me or someone else. What matters is that you get the training. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, hand-to-hand, survival, preparedness, gunsmithing, first aid, you know, we have the wilderness survival class, whatever. Stay busy, get all the training that you can afford. And try not to get it from some guy that teaches out of his garage. And just trying to make some extra beer money on weekends. Try to find somebody that is professional, that does it for a living, that does it all the time, that lives, eats, and breathes what they teach. And that's a big part of what we do. Is I don't teach anything that I don't live in my life. I don't have one job so that I can come and teach something else. I don't dress one way and then dress another way when it comes time to teach a class. The way that I dress when I teach the class is the way that I dress every day. The only difference may be that I may wear Wranglers, you know, my everyday life, and I wear some kind of Dockers or, you know, 5'11 pants or Woolrich or something during the class. But other than that, that is the only difference. I wear the same boots, same kind of shirts, same guns in the same place, same magazine, same. Flashlight, Leatherman, same thing, all the time. I live what I teach. And there's so many people, overwhelmingly most, that don't do that. They'll take a class and they look at it as a recreational thing. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I can't wait till next summer. I'll come out there and do that again. And they don't, not one time, practice or think about what they've done until they get to do it again. Very little of that muscle memory, very little of that tactical mindset is going to stick with them and do them any good whatsoever when the time comes. The time is coming. Everyone that's listening to me right now is going to witness that, barring any premature, unnatural deaths. You're going to be there. And it is important that you work on getting in some kind of halfway decent shape. I know round is a shape, but it is an unacceptable shape for what we're talking about. We need to be at least egg-shaped, or maybe a little better. But the time to worry about all this happening is not when it happens. It's now, and hope to hell that you can get your deficiencies taken care of before time. I told you guys about that book the other day, 1 second after. I'm going to give you about a week. I'll guarantee if you pick it up and start reading it, even a slow reader ought to finish it in 3 or 4 days. It's a good book, and I'm going to give you about a week to finish it. Let's see, this is Wednesday. I think probably it gives you one weekend, but it's not that hard to get it done. I think probably next Wednesday we're going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it and spoil it for any of you that want to read it. If you don't want to read it, then that's okay too. But I think you should. You should try really hard to read that and absorb it. And we're going to discuss it a little bit. Not just from the EMP standpoint, but from the preparedness standpoint, from you know, all the many things that happened, could have happened, did happen, didn't happen. And it's a great training book. Is it all going to happen just like that? No telling how. It may or may not. No way of knowing. But the things that it does to set you to thinking about, to put your mind in gear there, I think is priceless. So, all right, next Wednesday, that's what we're going to do. So, be back here, same time, same station next Wednesday, and we're going to talk about that. Actually, we're going to be back tomorrow. Got a lot of gun-related things to talk about tomorrow, some safety things, and some mechanical, technical things we're going to talk about a little bit. So tomorrow ought to be good for the I better not say that, because we had I think three girls hung in there with us last week, and we appreciate that. And it's not for everybody. I understand that it's hard to hard for everybody to get into the way that some of us are, but that's what we're going to do. So Friday, Liberty Lounge, and then we'll take the weekend. So. All right, let me find my deal here. I wasn't prepared, and now I'm prepared, so I'm getting out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And don't forget, Amy will be here tomorrow. The podcasts are all pretty well caught up. You can find Amy's at LWOH at podbean.com. You can find mine at TSB at podbean.com. Mine are also available on iTunes. And I think I'm only a couple behind right now, so they're pretty well caught up. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.